Our scripture reading this morning is from Philippians, 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 12. This is, the Philippians is a letter from Paul to the church at Philippi. We're reading from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. If then there is any comfort in Christ, any consolation from love, any partnership in the Spirit, any tender affection and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or empty conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, assuming human likeness, and being found in appearance as a human, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him even more highly and gave him the name that is above every other name, so that at the name given to Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work on your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
When I walked into the auto repair shop, all I had on my mind was to get the car fixed. I stood there waiting at the counter, and I became transfixed, however, by an aquarium that was across the lobby on the other side of the room. Wow! I couldn't believe how beautiful it was, and I was so drawn to it that I began to walk in that direction, and with that, a voice came from behind the counter that said to me, "There are no fish in that tank." And I was not to be deterred. I continued walking toward it, and she said, "And there is no water in that tank either." Friends, let me tell you, that's just not right. One who knows what an aquarium is supposed to be. I've been there and worked with keeping one clean and watching the fish as they swim in that space. Don't trick me with such an image that is not real. It may look pretty from a distance, but if it's not real, it takes all the joy out of it. Deep down, I want life, especially church life, to be real, don't you? Pippin Park is a microcosm of the Methodism out of which it was birthed. It has attempted across the years to give room for the diversity of thought and opinion that is a part of real life in real community. This was a part of what John Wesley was experiencing and a part of why he wrote a sermon that he repeated over and over, of course, over the course of his preaching life, in which he tried to share the ideal of Christian unity that he picked up in Scripture, having focused on this passage that we share today and also on that beloved epistle of 1 John that was probably his favorite book in the Bible, where he read about the vision of the early settlers of the faith who sought to inspire not division, but unity of heart. John Wesley used a passage of scripture in his preaching that he plucked from 2 Kings. And if you were to examine the larger picture of where that passage is, it would become confusing. But you see, preachers can choose any scripture in the Bible that they want to use and make it work for their purposes. Now, that can be very, very dangerous. In fact, preachers have a name for that, eisegesis rather than exegesis. We want to know the larger passage. But here, regardless of how John Wesley chose that passage, it is incredibly important for us to hear his thought process attached to it. For he was quoting in that passage Jehu, who was encountering those who were opposed to the idea that he was the new king anointed by Elisha. And he was testing the waters of everyone that he met, whether they were on his side or not. When he came to Jehonadab, he asked the question, he said, "Is your heart as my heart is toward your heart?" That's an interesting way to put it. Is your heart as my heart is toward your heart? If so, then give me your hand. Let's shake on it. That's basically what he was saying. Let's shake on it. If you are with me, then let's shake on it. John Wesley, in that sermon, The Catholic Spirit, talked about those who will let just anything happen in regard to their permissiveness about letting Christianity be what it will be. There's a long, churchy-sounding name that's given to it, latitudinarianism. Does anybody want to try that one out? It is specifically attached to some Anglican clergy who were intellectuals at Cambridge and were trying to be sensitive to all of the difficulties that had been a part of the church in the prior century that had brought about terrible war and terrible conflict in the world. And so their answer to this was, okay, let anybody do whatever they want to do, and let's cast our sermons into the midst of that. The early Methodist, John Wesley included, was accused of being latitudinarianist. I'm not even sure that I got the pronunciation right on that one. But he countered that by saying, this is not what this sermon is about. You and I may differ in the way that we think, but if our hearts connected with Christ are truly also connecting with others, then love will win out beyond the differences of opinion that are there. Some people have said that it was an original statement with John Wesley. Others have said, no, St. Augustine was the originator of it. Have you heard it said, in essentials, unity in non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity. That's a good thought. Pittman Park has sought to, across the years, affirm the differences that are particularly a part of being a church across the road from a university. The very name university gives us a reason to also be inclusive in the way that we think about others. I understand that Mike Hewling, God bless Mike Hewling today. God bless Mike Hewling. I understand that he would always conclude worship with the words of the United Methodist Church motto, open hearts, open minds, open doors. And in fact, he would use this as a chant with the congregation so that everybody was saying it. Now, I don't know if that has become folklore yet, but it should be here, that we would remember that forever and ever in the history of Pittman Park Church. I had one dear member of this church who was doing some soul searching, who came to me not long ago, I think trying to think through all of the struggles that our denomination is going through and where he might fall in his decisioning about whether to stay put or whether to go. And this wise soul said to me, I've come to the conclusion that I don't want to be a part of a church where everyone believes the same as me. Wow! That's real. That is real. To be able to see the church for what God has made it to be. Some people believe that our partisan culture, and aren't we a part of a partisan culture these days? The political divide is so evident in our nation. And that political divide has certainly invaded the church. While there may be some truth to that, let me tell you that there have been struggles within the church for the last 2,000 years. There is nothing recent about it. Check your church history. In fact, check your Bibles, and you will get the feeling of struggle. One of the main reasons the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church at Philippi was to deal with the matter of division within the church. Oh, it was a great church. Foundational for the church worldwide. But they were dealing with severe division. In the first chapter, he says, after his greeting, he says, some proclaim Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. I've seen that happen more than once over the course of these 40 years of being in ordained ministry. And Paul was seeing it in Philippi. And also over in the 27th verse of the first chapter, only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel. And then he gets personal before he closes this letter, for he begins calling people by name that are a problem. In the fourth chapter, he actually says, I urge Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in one Lord. I remember serving a church, I will not mention which one it was, where there were two women that were so at odds with each other, they would not be in the same room together. That did not work out well. I'm not as brave to call the names of people here that are at odds with each other. But if there's anybody that you are at odds with, I will say like Paul, be of the same mind. The apostle prescribes some medicine for us. In the first verses of this second chapter, he says, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. And then in this fourth verse, let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. This is real life. To look to the interests of others. Why would Paul spend so much time focusing on this? I think it is because he loved the church at Philippi, the people at Philippi so much, but also because he had experienced himself firsthand the dangers of what that separatist mind can do. In fact, he had lived that life. You remember how he, before that converting experience, was this dynamic, religious personality pursuing those Christians on the street in hopes of setting life right. He was trapped in his own interests, in his own understandings of Scripture. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his little book, Life Together, wrote these words, "The person who loves their dream of community will destroy community, but the person who loves those around them will create community." Listen to that one more time. The person who loves their dream of community will destroy community, but the person who loves those around them will create community. Does our idea of the way we think the church should be threaten to destroy the very community we wish to create. I believe that our denomination is on the precipice of this right now. That there are some people that are so inclined to love their idea of the way that community should be, that it is a threat to the integrity of church as God meant it to be. God help us. In fact, I say that again. God, please help us. Which, in reality, is what He has already done in Jesus Christ. I love it that Paul breaks into song at this point. For this fifth verse through the 11th is actually in meter and verse. It is a hymn of the early church, just as familiar to Paul and to those who were hearing it as those favorite hymns that we sing. I wish we knew the tune. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, He did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a slave. Being born in human likeness, being found in human form, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, get this second verse, okay? For we move at this point from this instructional verse to this doxological verse. Hear this second verse. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and gave Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Is your heart with my heart as my heart is with your heart right now? If so, then let's shake on it. When the tank is full and the water is clean, the oxygen is bubbling, the plants are swaying. I realize that some fish just still don't get it. The fish don't always agree who should be in the tank. I know this from experience. But in their best moments, they work it out. I heard one of the most conservative members of the South Georgia Conference once say, and I don't think he knew exactly what he was saying when he said it, but I wrote down the words when I left that meeting. But one of the most conservative members of our conference looked out at our assembly and he said, "It is one church, but we have many campuses." And I thought, did I hear him right? One church, but many campuses. And I heard one of the most progressive members of our conference say, "The church is bigger than what we might imagine it to be." Love in community takes focus and humility and selflessness, but most of all, it takes Christ in our minds. May the mind of Christ be in you.